Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Have a seat. Good morning. If you're a guest today, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm lead pastor here. Thank you. As some of you are wondering, yes, I'm in handcuffs. And now you're wondering, why is he in handcuffs? Well, the cops told me I could finish the last service, and then that was a joke. No, I am wearing handcuffs, and I'm going to preach in these today, which I've already done it once. It's not fun. It's an illustration. It's a picture of really the reason we're doing this series. A series is called Moving On. We're discovering God's path from hurt to healing. And we've all been hurt. We all need to heal. And I believe God has a very specific path to that healing. But before we can even get to the path, we have to understand our need for God's path. And so that's really why I'm wearing these today, because I believe they illustrate how most, all of us at some point, but how most of us go through life. And I'll be honest with you, this is going to be a three-week series, but the key, the solution, the answer to healing from past hurt is very simple. In fact, it comes down to one word, and it's one word I'm going to put on the screen in just a moment. But before I do, I want to warn you, because I know many of you, you knew what we were talking about today, and it's possible that there are things from your past that are still impacting your present, and you're hurting. And it's possible you're angry at people and frustrated with people because of what they did. And the word I'm about to put on the screen, what I believe is the solution, the answer, it's very likely that word's going to feel offensive to you. And I want to give you permission to be offended. I get it. In fact, I'll go one further. If I was sitting where you sat and I had experienced what you experienced and I had come here today hoping to hear an answer for how to finally move on and this word popped up on the screen, I'd be offended too. So we're on the same page about that. But I'm still going to put it on the screen. And we're still going to talk about it for the next 3 weeks. Because until we embrace it, this is how we go through life. So let me just go ahead and show you the word. Then I'll tell you why we're going to talk about it for 3 weeks. Because I believe God's path from hurt to healing, when it comes to things that have happened to us in our lives, really comes down to one word. Forgiveness. And you're offended. I get it. Forgiveness. But they did something to me. They lied to me. They betrayed me. They hurt me. Why on earth would I even consider forgiving them? They've never even said they were sorry. They've never taken a step to try to fix it. I don't even know they did it. Why would I forgive? That's a perfectly reasonable question. And my hope over the next few weeks, this is a three-week series, my hope is that God will begin to answer that question for you. If you don't attend our church regularly, we're honored you're here, and I want to tell you, typically our series build on each other, okay? And this one is really, this is basically one long sermon I'm preaching for 3 weeks because it would just be too much content to cover in 1 week. So what that means is at the end of 3 weeks, I believe you're going to fully understand this. You're going to be able to embrace it. But it also means at the end of our time today, there's a possibility you will have more questions than answers. And I want you to know that's perfectly okay. Because those questions can lead to you this week having conversations with God, with trusted friends. And those conversations are great. So I just want to go ahead and set that at the top. We're not going to solve this today. We're going to begin the process. But the reason I'm wearing these handcuffs is because the opposite of forgiveness is unforgiveness. And when we walk in unforgiveness, either for unforgiveness for ourselves or unforgiveness for people who have hurt us, this is how we go through life. We go through life chained. We go through life shackled. In fact, there's a couple things we can notice. Number one, unforgiveness limits our range of motion, just like these chains, these handcuffs. If you attend regularly, you know I am a hand talker. And this is not easy. But you also know that some of those episodes from the past, some of the things that have hurt you that you're still carrying, they limit your range of motion. They limit your ability to do the things that you think you would enjoy, because that anger, that bitterness, it just limits our ability to be free. It also, it limits our capacity to interact with others. I can't hug someone like this. I guess I can handshake, but I got to go for the two-hander, you know? See, same thing happens in our lives and in our hearts when we carry anger, when we carry hurt, when we carry bitterness. It limits our ability to interact with other people, specifically people who had nothing to do with what happened to us. Because here's what I know is true in my life, and maybe you do as well. When we have things from our past, right, that aren't resolved, that we haven't forgiven, that we haven't been able to move on from, they don't go away. And in fact, we carry them into the present, and we project them onto people who had nothing to do with our pain. We believe, well, so-and-so lied to me, so everyone might lie to me. Well, so-and-so betrayed me, so everyone might betray me. We're shackled by our own inability to embrace forgiveness. So it limits our ability to move. It limits our ability to interact. And finally, it limits our ability to experience life to the fullest. Because we can't live the life Jesus created us to live when we're chained. When we're shackled. And the path is forgiveness. I know I said it again. And every time I say it, you get a little angry, and I understand. Please hear me. I would too. But part of that, I believe, is because we misunderstand what forgiveness is. And we misunderstand where the power to forgive comes from. So before we dive into a three-week series about forgiveness, I want to begin by dispelling a few myths about forgiveness, okay? So I'm not going to ask you to do anything today, so you can take a deep breath. I'm not going to ask you to forgive anybody today. Today's just kind of an introduction. We're laying a foundation. And over the next few weeks, not me, but I believe God's Holy Spirit can move in your life, can move in your heart. And I believe he'll set you free. But before we get there, let me tell you what forgiveness isn't, okay? Forgiveness is not. A couple things real quick. Number one, forgiveness is not easy. And you know this. If it were easy, you would have done it already. But not only is forgiveness not easy, I believe forgiveness requires a miracle of God to happen in your life. And so if you're here today and there's pain from your past and you haven't forgiven them, it's okay. Don't beat yourself up. You're just like everybody else. It's not easy to do. Not only is forgiveness not easy, forgiveness is not normal. You know this. We live in a world that doesn't forgive. We live in a world that, if anything, encourages us to hate, to push, to fight, to get even, to not let them get away with it. Forgiveness is almost looked at as weakness. So it's totally understandable that it was not our natural first thought to think that forgiving is the key to being set free. It's also really crucial to understand forgiveness is not forgetting. So many of us think, well, if I just forgive, I'm going to forget what happened. And that's not true. In fact, for those of us who are Christians, see, we believe that God can actually take the pain from our past and use it to mold us and shape us and use it for our good in the future. And so there's actually no value in forgetting what happened. The power is in seeing what God can do through it. So it's not forgetting. Also, forgiveness is not continuing the relationship. See, you can forgive someone and still press charges. Yeah, you can. You can forgive someone and completely terminate the relationship. Forgiveness and trust are nowhere near the same thing. Did you know you do not have to trust everyone? Did you know that? Even Christians? We don't have to trust everybody. You know how I know? Because when Jesus was on earth, he didn't trust everybody. It's actually written down at the end of John 2. Go read it. It says he didn't trust everyone. And so we don't have to trust people anymore. If they break our trust, we don't have to trust them, but we can still find a way to forgive them. Now, forgiveness is also not rolling over or just letting it go. And I know that for a lot of us, that's the big piece, right? We feel like forgiveness is in some way letting them off the hook. Forgiveness is our way of saying it wasn't really that big a deal. I'll just let it go. And look, I get if that's how you feel today. My hope is over the next few weeks, not me, but God's Holy Spirit is going to change your mind and help you see what forgiveness actually is. And that forgiveness at its core is for us, not them. The reason I say that is because if you're here today, and man, you are struggling. You have anger. You have rage. You have bitterness. You have the scars. You have the wounds of what people said, what people did, and you feel it, and it is impacting your life. There's a lot of things forgiveness isn't. But there's one more I got to point out as we kind of begin this journey for all of us. Forgiveness is not optional. Not if we want to experience God's path from hurt to healing. Because when it comes to Christ followers, those of us who have a relationship with Jesus, we are commanded to forgive. And I get it. That's tough. I know some of you are looking around like, how do I slip out of here? Because I was told this series was about healing from past hurt. And they hurt me. And I thought you were going to tell me how to move on from that and be healed from that. And you're telling me I got to forgive them? That's the step? This isn't a cop-out, but I'm not telling you that. I'm quoting God to you. Because, yeah, he says that's the path. That's the key. Because until we do, this is how we go through life. Here's the great thing about our Heavenly Father, okay? He's never asked us to do anything without providing everything we needed to obey. And that is especially true when it comes to forgiveness. And here's why. He created us. He understands something fundamental about us. And when I say this, you're going to understand this as well. And you probably already knew this. It's kind of intuitive, but we don't really think about it this way. And this is really what we're going to talk about today. Again, I'm not going to ask you to forgive anybody today. Okay? So just breathe. There's a deeper truth that I hope we can all begin to embrace, that will lay the groundwork for us to choose, I hope, to embrace forgiveness for the people who have hurt us in our lives. But before we get there, here's the truth God wants you to experience today, is that forgiveness must be experienced before it can be extended. We have to receive it for ourselves before we can extend it to others. And now you're really mad. This is about what they did to me, and you're telling me I need to be forgiven? Yeah. And again, not me. Our Heavenly Father. And look, this is above my pay grade. I can't tell you who needs to be forgiven or what. I go to the authorities. I go to the source. And so what I want to do is in all things, I'm not going to speak on this. I'm going to let God's messengers speak on this. I mean, today we're going to turn to a book in our New Testament. It's called the Book of Romans, which is a letter written by this man named Paul to Christians who are living in Rome. And if you attend our church regularly, you've heard me say this 1,000 times, but Paul was an early Christian leader he was a missionary. He would travel from town to town, and he would lead people to Jesus, and he would create churches in those towns. And once a church was healthy, he'd move on to another town. And eventually these churches started having questions about how to follow Jesus, and Paul would write them letters, giving them instructions. And sometimes he would even write letters to churches he had never met. This letter to the church in Rome, he had not been to Rome yet, but he wrote a letter. And what we believe as Christians is that the Holy Spirit was speaking through Paul when he wrote these letters. And so almost 2,000 years later, on the other side of the planet, we have these letters and we can read them, and it's like God is speaking to us. And in this letter, Paul writes to the church in Rome, he basically gives an overview of what it means to be a Christian and why we should become a Christian. And it's in that context that Paul explains why each and every one of us, before we can ever think about forgiving other people, has to experience forgiveness for ourselves. And I know that may sound offensive, but hopefully through Paul's words and through the Holy Spirit kind of moving in our hearts today, you can understand where our Heavenly Father is coming from. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans chapter 3. If not, we'll have it up here on the screen. But third chapter of this letter, near the end of the chapter, Paul makes a statement. And this statement sort of builds the foundation for why we all need forgiveness. And here's what Paul says. Paul says, everyone has sinned. And he says, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. I love this verse because that's actually a perfect definition of sin. A sin is anything that falls short of God's glorious standard for us. And the reason God has a standard for us is because sin sabotages our lives. God's not trying to hurt us. He's not trying to take away our joy. He's not some cosmic killjoy up there laughing. Every single command he's ever given, every rule, anything he's ever called sin, he calls it because it sabotages our lives. And we know this. We've all experienced this. It's why we have guilt and shame and regret. It's why we look back on bad choices. We're like, man, why'd I do that? I'd give anything not to have done that. Because that sin sabotaged that little part of our life. We experience this in relationships. You know, we're not supposed to be selfish, right? Has any relationship in your life been made better when you brought selfishness to the relationship? No. If anything, what selfishness does, it sabotages and then it separates. This is why when you and your kids or you and your parents or you and your siblings or you and your coworkers or you and your friends or you and your neighbors, whenever selfishness comes in and you do something out of selfishness or they do something out of selfishness, the relationship is severed for a moment. And the relationship isn't repaired normally until one person, the person who sinned, comes back and says, hey, I'm sorry. They apologize, they take ownership. Maybe they even say, hey, I'll make it up to you. They kind of make amends, and then the relationship is restored. We've all experienced this in our lives. Well, the exact same thing happens with our relationship with God. When we sin, not only is our life sabotaged, but we are separated from God. because God can't be around sin. But here's the problem. I can apologize to my wife. I can apologize to my kids. I can apologize to my coworkers. I can kind of make it up, and the relationship is restored. But it doesn't work that way with the God of the universe. A couple chapters later, Paul explains why. I want to take you there to chapter 6, because here's what Paul says. Paul says, the wages of sin is death. What that means is what we've earned, what we've deserved, what we deserve because of the fact that we've sinned, that we've done things God didn't want us to do, that we've rebelled against God, what we deserve is death. Aren't you glad you came to church today? But let me explain why. It's because our perfect Heavenly Father is just that. He's perfect. He's holy. He gives us a standard. We fall short of it. And because we fall short, because we sin, we are separated from Him because He can't be around sin. Because then He wouldn't be perfect and holy. In fact, the only thing He can do with sin and stay consistent with His character is destroy sin. Well, if we're sinners, that means the only thing He can do to be consistent with His character is to destroy us. We can't make it up. We can't work hard enough. We can't do enough. We can't make amends with Him. Because Paul says the wages of sin, what sin deserves, is death. But then Paul's summarizing something we're about to read in a minute. He adds this. He says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we're like, whew, well, that sure is good. Let's go back and see why Paul says that. So let's go back to chapter 3. And Paul says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And then he adds, yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. Makes us right is exactly what it sounds like. Even though we are sinners, God in His grace makes us sinless. Makes us perfect in His sight. Now, some of you who aren't familiar with this story, you have a question because you've noticed something. You're like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound consistent. You just said that God was perfect. And because God was perfect, the only thing he could do with sin is destroy it. And because we were sinners, He must destroy us. But now you just said that God made us right in His sight. How did God do that? How did He decide to make us right? And if you're thinking that, that is a great question. You're really smart. It's a very good observation. I'm proud of you. Because it's not logical. How does that work? And Paul answers the question. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. See, the penalty was there. Death was there. Death was required. And God can forgive us. God can set us free because He made Jesus pay the penalty in our place. That's what Paul says in the next verse. He says, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. See, sin requires death. Sin requires a sacrifice. My sin, your sin, the sin of the entire world required a sacrifice. But because God loved me and because God loved you and because He wanted to have a relationship with us, rather than punish us, He sent His Son. Literally, physically, to earth over 2,000 years ago on the other side of the planet. And for 33 years, a real man really lived. They called Him Jesus of Nazareth. And get this, He never sinned. He was tempted, but He never sinned. Ever. He never once fell short of God's glorious standard. He was perfect in every single way, which made Him uniquely equipped for God's plan. Because Jesus was perfect, and because He was willing to substitute His life for ours, what God did when Jesus died on that cross is he didn't wipe away my punishment. He didn't wipe away your punishment. He didn't wipe away the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. We earned it. We ran up the debt. Jesus paid it off. Specifically, what God did is he took all his anger and all his wrath that he justly felt and wanted to direct towards sinners, and instead of directing it towards us, he placed it on his son. And he fully, finally, and completely satisfied the punishment required for sin. Once for all time. In Jesus. When Jesus died and said, "It is finished," what was finished was the penalty for sin. Once for all time. And so how does God make us right? Paul tells us. He says, people, that's us, that's me and you, we're made right with God when we believe that Jesus sacrificed his life shedding his blood. Let that sink in for a minute. We ran up the tab. We rebelled. We thought we knew more. It was our life that's been sabotaged. It's our life that was separated. And all we have to do is believe. Faith, that's it. We don't have to earn our way back. We don't have to make up for it. We don't have to keep a running tab and say, all right, Jesus, here's what I owe you today. No, 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 no. Every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit, past, present, future, was paid for by Jesus on the cross almost 2,000 years ago on the other side of the planet. And the only thing you have to do to receive that forgiveness, to receive that perfection, to be made right in his sight is believe. Faith. Trust. And then once we've believed, once we've trusted, then the only reasonable, logical choice is to continue to follow. This man who loved us so much, he gave his life. And this man who was so powerful, he came back to life after he was killed. It's a reasonable, rational choice to say, oh, well, I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life. But we don't follow him to earn forgiveness. We follow him because we've been forgiven. Which means, as we go through life, even following Jesus, when other people sin against us, when they harm us, when they cause pain, we don't run to the world, we don't run to other people, we run to our Savior. And we say, Jesus, what should I do? And he lovingly says, hey, if you want to be set free from what they've done to you, embrace the forgiveness I gave to you. And I know you don't understand that yet. That's why we've got several more weeks of the series. But we cannot begin to deal with pain and hurt in our past until we first have a proper appreciation of what was done for us. That's why I keep saying forgiveness must be experienced before it can be extended. And I know many of us in the room, we're Christians. You have experienced that forgiveness. You have received it. And every time we allow anger and bitterness and rage to live in our souls, we reshackle ourselves when Jesus has set us free. And so if you're here today and you do consider yourself a Christ follower, the major point of today is just simply to remind us of what's happened in us. To remind us of the chains that have been broken through Jesus. Because it's only from that foundation that we can even begin to heal and to thrive in a world we were never created to live in. We were created to live in a perfect world with our Heavenly Father. Sin came in and broke it. And when we refuse, rightly, justly, because of what's happened to us, and when we refuse to embrace the concept of forgiveness, and we hold on to that hurt, we're the only one it hurts. This is where we'll pick up next week, because we don't get to put them in handcuffs. We're the ones who are handcuffed by anger, by unforgiveness. And we don't have to live that way anymore, because we've been set free. Now for others, maybe today's the first time you've even heard this story about Jesus, or it's the first time it's made sense, and you've never really put together what Jesus did for you and for me and for us, and now you do. Again, because of what Jesus did, you can be set free from the guilt and the shame and the pain you still carry in your own life. And quite frankly, we can't even begin to heal from past hurts and begin to forgive other people until we've received that forgiveness for ourselves. Some of you have been living in guilt and shame. And I know that guilt and shame, it's real. It feels real. It feels as real as these handcuffs feel on my hands. But that guilt, that shame has no power over you. Just like these handcuffs have absolutely no power over me. See, I don't need someone to come up and unlock these. These are fake. These are toys. I can choose to take these off whenever I want. It's a little button. Boom. Now, please hear me. In no way am I saying what happened to you is fake. It is very real. But don't miss this. What happened to you in the past is real. The power it still holds over you in the present is not. Because the power of sin was broken and paid for on the cross. And just to prove that that power could overcome anything and everything, Jesus died on Friday. He was buried on Saturday. He stayed dead, because that's what dead people do on Saturday. And then on Sunday, he came back to life. He came back to life to tell you, these chains, what they did to you has no power over you except what you give it. The actual power to hold you down, the actual power to set you back, the actual power to destroy your life was satisfied on the cross and in the resurrection. So my prayer for all of us over the next few weeks is that not only will God open your eyes to the places, to the areas, to the relationships where you still feel shackled by what they did. My prayer is over the next few weeks you'll realize it has no power over your present, and it has no right to control your future. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much. He sent His perfect Son to die to prove it. So for the Christ followers today, here's the question. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with Jesus. Where have you put on chains? Where have you allowed other people to chain you? Where are you still being held and controlled by their actions? Allow your Heavenly Father to just begin to make it real to you this week. It has no power over you. And if you'll let him, he'll show you how to be set free. But not until you're willing to embrace the fact that forgiveness is the path. And if you consider yourself a Christian, you know that. You've been forgiven. You've been set free. Why walk back into bondage? And today, if you're here, you're not a Christian. You can be set free today. Those chains of guilt, those chains of shame, those chains of regret, those chains of not even being able to look at yourself in the mirror because of how sick you are over what you've done. You can be set free today. You don't have to carry that weight, because the penalty was paid for on the cross. And you don't even have to earn it. You just have to believe. And so today, if you would like to believe that, if you would like to receive that gift, I will be honored to show you how. So I just invite everybody in the room to bow their heads and close their eyes for just a moment. And if today you say, yeah, I want Jesus to set me free. I don't want to carry this guilt. I don't want to carry this shame. I want a relationship with my Savior, and I want to follow him, because if he did that for me, his way is best. Then I invite you to just simply pray in your heart. Repeat after me as I pray this prayer out loud. Say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. And I understand that sin separated us. But Jesus, I believe that you came to earth, you sacrificed your life, and you paid the debt of my sin. I no longer have a penalty because of you. I believe you came back to life. And I believe if you did, I can too. I can walk in the freedom you provide. So Jesus, today I commit my life to you. I want to follow you. And Jesus, I invite you to show me how to extend to others the forgiveness I'm currently experiencing in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now keep your heads bowed for a moment. I want you to know, if you pray with me right then, we believe something radical just happened. We believe something supernatural just happened. We believe you've begun a relationship with Jesus that we hope you will continue to take steps towards him for the rest of your life as your church. It is our honor to walk with you in this journey. And one of the very first things Jesus asks us to do when we place our faith in him is to go public with what's happened, to tell people. And so at Wellspring, we try to make that very easy. We want to give you a moment right now to go public in a pretty private way with people's heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to count to three. And if you prayed that prayer with me just then, I want you to raise your hand and just keep it up until I tell you to drop it. You're keeping it up just as that first step of reaching out to your Savior and thanking him for who he is. Ready? One, two, three. Just shoot them up and keep them up. Just keep them up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for paying the penalty for my mistakes. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for giving me the power to take the chains off. And Jesus, if you did that for me, I can't wait to see what you want to do through me. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. Okay, you can put your hands down and look at me for 1 second. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song. Because for me, one of the ways the Holy Spirit kind of settles in my soul what I need to do next is through singing. And so as we sing, if you consider yourself a Christ follower, I want you to thank Jesus for the amazing sacrifice he made to set us free from the penalty for our mistakes. Two, I want you to give the Holy Spirit permission to search your hearts. Is there anywhere, any person, any relationship that you're refusing to extend the forgiveness you've experienced. All I'm asking this week, bring it to mind. And then this week, just pray about, wow, yeah, I haven't forgiven that person. And then come back next Sunday, and we're going to talk about why. Why we should do it. And then week three, we're going to talk about how. How do we actually forgive other people? So wherever you are on your journey, as we sing, reflect on what Jesus has done and give him permission to do what he wants to do. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you so much. God, we just thank you for your son. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness. We thank you that he sacrificed his life for us. We thank you that the power of the resurrection is alive and well and moving in each and every one of us, ready to break the chains we still carry. Father, may we become aware today that they have no power. Their power died on the cross. And all we have to do is step towards you to walk in the freedom you created us to live in. And it is that step towards freedom. It is that step into forgiveness that paves the path to healing. And we thank you for it. And we ask you to give us the wisdom to see and the courage to step into your plans for our life. We love you. We thank you, Father. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.